The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis coming up on 907 here in North Texas. Taking your calls at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, Gleiser. And you also hope you'll follow my weekly column at YouTellMeTexas.com. YouTellMeTexas.com. As an aside, is another topic to discuss this Monday morning before Christmas. If you live in Dallas, it'd be worth your while if you haven't done so. Drive north on Hillcrest and take a ride on Royal Lane. And when you do, you will see what Mother Nature can do when she is in her full fury, which she was back in October when that F3 tornado blew through Preston Hollow in North Dallas, devastating businesses there at Preston Royal and taking entire houses and turning them into toothpicks there along that corridor. A lot of damage were done. A lot of damage was done. A lot of lives badly disrupted, people losing everything they have. To discuss that topic and what is being done and what has been done, we have on the line with us this morning Anna Blake with Unite Greater Dallas. Anna, welcome to the Mark Davis Show.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So bring us, we know the tornado happened in October, and I'm telling you, it's a macabre sight, and you don't want to do it for the wrong reasons, but it is worth looking at what happened. That stretch on Royal Lane between Hillcrest and Central, if you look at the way those people's lives have been thrown to the winds, literally, It does two things. It makes you appreciate your own good fortune and your own blessings. And number two, it makes you feel acutely the suffering of your fellow citizens. Anna, where does everything stand with respect to all of this?
Well, we're still in progress. There's a lot of work to be done. I can tell you a little about what has taken place. So we had a lot of assistance, local organizations and national organizations that were on the ground with an immediate response within the first, 24 to 72 hours of the event. And so people were able to, families affected were able to get some immediate relief. But if you did the drive-through, you can see that this is not just a quick recovery process. Recovery is going to take, 6 months for some, those who have insurance and those who have resources, to up to a couple of years for some other families. So we are doing our very best to make sure that we keep these families and their needs in the forefront of the community. And so that's why we're on today. Thank you for having us.
Well, what specific needs are still out there and how are they being met?
So we are currently doing canvassing. A lot of organizations have been working with families, and they've gone because so many of the families that are still hurting were either at the poverty line or just slightly below. They've gone into more traditional resources for families, and so they're not necessarily earmarked. But there are some families that are trying their very best to do things on their own. And so we've been doing canvassing in the neighborhoods, knocking on doors, making sure that we hand out resources. Rebuilding is definitely huge. We still have requests for simple things like space heaters for families who still have open sections in their roofing or windows still blown out. still trying to keep their houses as heated as possible. We have just some immediate needs for just the safety of it all, because I don't know if you remember, but there was quite a bit of rain that came quite a couple of weeks just after the end of October, after the tornado hit. And so some of those families, in addition to some of the roofing damages and for some people complete devastation of their homes, they had to deal with the issues of mold and those things. So we're calling on anyone who's able to volunteer their time to help still clear debris for some. The city has been working so hard to meet the needs of every family that's still dealing with issues of debris, but there's still, it's an ongoing process.
Well, Anna, in this season of the year where want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices, how do people who are moved to help get in touch with you, and how do they help?
The best way to get in contact or get more information would be to go to unitethechurch.org. We have a page there just dedicated to volunteer opportunities, ways to give your financial support, and of course, prayers for all the families impacted. But that website is unitethechurch.org.
UniteTheChurch.org, do it online now. In this season of giving, perhaps you give to your fellow citizens who suffer most acutely because of the fury of Mother Nature. Anna, thank you very much for being a part of the program this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Anna Blake with UniteTheChurch.org, trying to help people who were devastated in October in Dallas by the tornado that blew through. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. What do we do? What does Mitch McConnell do? What do you do if you are Mitch McConnell with respect to the impeachment that has yet to be delivered over to the Senate? If and when Mitch McConnell ever gets the case from Nancy Pelosi, what should he do with it? Taking your calls on that subject at 866-660-5759. The bonus question, the lady in Washington who mistakenly paid $5,784 on a bill where she owed $57.84, can't get her money back. Have you ever run into that kind of a bureaucratic problem where a big, giant organization just couldn't bring itself to do the right thing? 866-660-5759. We're on the phones. We're in Dallas, and Nate is next on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Thanks for taking the call, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
So my question, Justice Roberts arguably has not had the best sense of judgment with regards to the changes he made for Obamacare. So
to say the least.
Senate sends Yes. So if the Senate sends over requesting a trial date, what happens if he just deems that this is a little too big to rush things and wants to just let it play its course?
The answer to your question is I don't know, except that, you know, I think tradition and duty binds him to, if the Senate is going to hold a trial, I think duty, he's duty bound to show up to preside, to act as the judge. So I don't know the specific answer to your question. I don't think there's a big risk that Justice Roberts wouldn't show up. I think he would show up, and I'm going to give him enough credit. I believe he is would be a fair jurist. If he didn't show up, then McConnell could simply say, well, if nobody wants to impeach the president, why should I, and just dismiss the whole thing?
Yeah. It's a political process, so just play the game the way they're striping the field, I guess.
You know, and here's the thing that just makes me insane. You had Nancy Pelosi as recently as 10 days ago talking about President Trump represents, and these are her words, a clear and present danger to our democracy. So if he's a clear and present danger to our democracy and must be removed in order to remove the clear and present danger, why is he suddenly now sitting on the articles of impeachment that could bring that result about? Is he a clear and present danger, or do we have plenty of time, Nancy? Which is it?
I'm throwing my hands up.
Yeah, well, I kind of heard you. Kind of heard you throw your hands up in the air.
Yeah.
This whole thing again. I don't know if you were Nate. If you were listening at the time I was talking earlier in the show, I was just in Egypt with a group of 76 listeners to my radio station in Tyler. I took a group of 76 people and we cruised the Nile River and we interacted to a great degree with highly educated, very sophisticated, urbane Egyptians. And they were looking at their country has been in massive upheaval, and they suffered the Arab Spring and an absolutely terrible president that did enormous damage. And they're used to political upheaval in that part of the world. They were looking at us, and I had engaged in a conversation with a very learned guy. He's an Egyptologist, a university-educated guy. And he's looking at us, and we expect that here. What's with all this upheaval in your country? And how come? Why is your president under the same kind of pressure in your country? And why is your political process so destabilized in your country? And I found that to be I was embarrassed by that question because it's a fair question. Why is this happening in America?
Frankly, because enough people are willing to listen without listening. They'll listen for what they have been taught. They'll listen for what they agree with, but they won't listen to learn from anyone else. So I think that's where the division is coming in our country. For as much as we have, you know, logic and perspective on how we view things, I mean, my family is a great example. I've had to block several on Facebook just to not see what I believe is garbage that they post. They believe wholeheartedly in the logic they have. And it puts us at a stalemate to actually work through many of the issues that are there. Some people listen to half the information. Some people listen to wrong information. Some people listen to all of it and come out with clear heads.
I'm going to give House Speaker Tip O'Neill from the Reagan years credit that he may not be due, but I think perhaps he is. I think on the same set of facts, if Tip O'Neill, Democrat from Massachusetts, were still in charge of the House of Representatives, I don't think impeachment would have gotten out of the starting block. I think he had enough respect for the foundational documents of our country and enough respect for the foundational political processes of our country. I think he would have said this is too thin a case, it's weak beer, and we're not going to cheapen impeachment by going forward with this. We don't have enough. I don't think he would be bringing this. I think the Democratic Party has moved so far away from the Democratic Party of Tip O'Neill's day as to be almost completely unrecognizable.
Well, they still had arguably relatively traditional American values. Today's Democrat Party is so far from it, they have nothing to stand on besides, you know, lying and cheating and making things up. And once you get caught in one lie, you got to keep going and make another and another. And they've been caught in so many, there's no turning back.
My daughter, who is in college, she's a sophomore in college. My daughter is, you know, she's 19, about to be 20 years old. So she doesn't have the same kind of perspective that her old dad does. And she's trying to understand. She's sitting there, you know, in a university setting, wallowing in the stew of leftism that almost all universities in America now are. And she's asking me for perspective on this stuff. And I'm having to explain to her that the Democratic Party of my parents, my parents who voted against John F. Kennedy, but my parents' parents, my grandparents voted for John F. Kennedy, that if John F. Kennedy were to take his platform and the speeches that he made in the 1960 election, if he wanted to run on that in 2020, he would have to run as a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So far has the Democratic Party shifted from what it was in the days of my growing up, at least. And so, you know, I think what Nancy Pelosi has done here is I think she's caught between the right thing, which I think she at least at one time said she recognized that impeachment has to be of necessity, broadly supported and bipartisan. She threw that out the window because she's caught by her extreme far-left base. And here we are with this horrible, baseless, damaging impeachment thing hanging in the air here over the holiday season, 300 and some odd days from the from an election that will clear the air one way or the other anyway. I think the whole thing is just a farce. Listen, Nate, I appreciate your call, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and to you as well.
Merry Christmas, and be safe. That opens the line at 866-660-5759. I'm Paul Gleiser, sitting in for Mark Davis. More of the Mark Davis Show and more of your calls coming up after the break. Stay with us. 926, Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer, taking your calls, 866-660-5759. We're in McKinney. It's Joanne next on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning, Joanne.
And good morning to you. I have two situations that are not impeachment and they're not tornadoes, but to one person, they're about as devastating.
How so?
The first one, I turned in my leased Toyota after 3 years, properly paid for everything in December of 04, and got the bill and everything was paid, including Texas taxes, except there was $493 still due. So I called Toyota. Oh, don't worry about it. That's just a little extra slush that we keep to be sure everything's paid. That was December. Still got it in January, February, March.
Let me understand. They wanted $493 from you, or they owed you $493?
No, no. They wanted it for me, but don't worry about it. Don't pay it right now because it's just slush. And we probably
They used the word slush?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Anyhow, I sent them a very formal letter on proper stationery and everything in February, laying out the problem, no answer. And guess what? In March, I got a letter from the credit department, whatever you call it. And my credit had dropped from 837 to 609. All because of that.
Well, you know, then these things happen, and it's wrong.
I know. Well,
it's
anyhow,
wrong.
The second thing that happened to me is a topper of everything.
All right.
I moved two whole blocks, put in a change of address to the Postal Service, and suddenly the next month, when I looked at my bank account, I discovered I had not received my Social Security, nor had I received several other things. And after doing some detective work, I didn't think at 87 I'd be a detective, but oh well. Anyhow, I discovered that the problem was they had declared me dead.
God, Lord.
Have you ever tried to prove you're not dead?
No, I've heard stories like this, and it's next to impossible. You're standing there in the flesh, and yet they don't believe that you're not dead. No, I've heard stories like this.
Yeah, well, I thought that kind of tops the impeachment, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And let me tell you, Joanne, all things on talk radio are political. Let me tell you the political angle to this. Because the Social Security Administration declared you dead and has no mechanism for declaring you undead, there you are. You can't get your Social Security checks. You can't get the stuff that you need in order to live your life. This is the bureaucracy to which Democrats would have us entrust the entirety of our health care.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what could, you know, that's going to be this wonderful to where everybody gets the care they need and no one have to worry about paying the bill. No, it will not be that way at all. It'll be one day you'll wake up and find out that you're dead. And as a consequence of being dead, you no longer need medical treatment. Joanne, I'm telling you, I'm sorry for you, and I'm glad to know here on Christmas Eve as we prepare to celebrate the birth of God on earth, I'm glad to say that I know for a fact that you are not dead.
That's true, and with a lot of work and a lot of brain power and a Republican attitude, I have proved that to everyone.
Very well. Well, I wish you many more years of Merry Christmas to you, many more years of happy, healthy, and prosperous life. That opens up a line at 866-660-5759. More of the Mark Davis Show with Paul Gleiser filling in after the news. Don't go away. It is 9:36 here on the Monday before Christmas, the eve of Christmas Eve. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, and I'm taking your calls at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. The question that we have been pondering all morning is, if you are Mitch McConnell, and assuming that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, ever deigns to send over the articles of impeachment voted last week by the House of Representatives on a 100% party line vote, save for the two Democrats who defected and voted no. Not a single Republican, not a single Republican voted aye on either of the two impeachment articles. Assuming that that entire ball of wax is ever delivered to the Senate for trial, as is supposed to be the case, if you're Mitch McConnell, what do you do? Do you simply give the whole thing the respect it is due, which is to say none, and dismiss it out of hand, which the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell can certainly do? Or do you hold a trial and use that trial as an opportunity to drag in the Democrats who are key players and key witnesses to all of this and air it all out and let the American public see in a way that the media cannot possibly ignore exactly how the Democrats have behaved and how they have worked to hurt the Republic? Your thoughts on this at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. The bonus question, your experience with intractable giant bureaucracies. The lady in Washington who paid her $57.84 AT&T bill online and mistakenly typed in $5,784, now cannot get her money back. And then we had a lady here at the bottom of the hour talked about she was declared dead by the Social Security Administration and now can't get them to believe that she's really actually alive with a beating heart in her chest. Have you run into, what is your story with respect to completely unresponsive, soulless, faceless, can't bring themselves to do the right thing bureaucracies? 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. There's an article today at Real Clear Politics by Frank Meehl, M-I-E-L-E, Meehl, Miley, I don't know exactly how you say his name. But one of the things that he brings up is obstruction of Congress is not a high crime, it's not even a low crime, it's not a crime at all. Obstruction of Congress is what presidents do when they think that the Congress is wrong. And to the extent that the Congress feels itself obstructed, that inevitable tension between two co-equal branches, you have the judiciary to act as arbiter. And that's how you resolve disputes between the executive and the legislative. The judiciary steps in and renders judgment that there's actually no such thing as obstruction of justice. It's obstruction of Congress. Obstruction of Congress is actually, in very large measure, the president's job when he thinks the Congress is wrong. Your thoughts on that? 866-660-5759. Chip, streaming in from Minnesota, where I imagine it's much colder than here. You're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Good morning and Merry Christmas, Paul.
Merry Christmas. Is it much colder than it is here? Because it's going to be close to 70 here today.
Well, at the moment, it's 27, and where I'm at, 27 right now is beautiful.
You're riding around with the top down at 27, right?
Well, it's T-shirt weather, especially in March. That's T-shirt weather.
I understand. Chip, what's on your mind?
Let's go into the Senate hearings, the future Senate hearings until the paperwork comes over. I don't want to necessarily punish Democrats for politically being Democrats in these hearings. What I want to see is Mitch McConnell setting the table for the future investigations against the people in the FBI who were corrupt in this sense. Maybe it's time to get them speaking on the record to the Congress, and maybe it's time for some contempt of Congress citations to start being flying out. I don't. You're not going to get anything for punishing Democrats for being punishment, other than the rewards of turning off voters and.
Well, that's a huge. But that's a huge reward.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, in some sense, we got to thank the Democrats for that, for turning voters off from them. So that's perhaps the Christmas gift that's yet to come, and the future's yet to come in
well,
that regard.
I don't know if you can conflate the malfeasance of the FBI into this instant proceeding in the Senate, assuming it ever gets there, because they're
too. You can ask questions, though. You can ask questions and have them be on record in that regard. So then all of a sudden, when the next report comes out, we have the IG report. When the next report comes out, all of a sudden, you know, sometimes people got to hear things over and over again before they start realizing the corruption's there.
Well, then you're making the argument for having a full-blown trial in the Senate. Let people. Here's the thing about a full-blown trial in the Senate: the media has so far studiously ignored the fact that Hunter Biden did in fact engage in corrupt behavior that the president asked the president of Ukraine about. They ignore the fact that actual corruption was going on. They just don't. It would be impossible to ignore that in a Senate trial by the media. You couldn't do it.
Punishing Hunter Biden is not going to help the Republicans.
No, who said punish him? Just get him to tell the story.
But I just don't think bringing up Hunter Biden in his sad life with the poor choices he has made.
Yeah, except it illustrates how completely nasty, fetid, dirty, stinky, smelly, corrupt the swamp really is. And that is a useful object lesson for a lot of people who still don't believe it.
Well, but I think if we get the McCabe on record, officially in front of the Congress, if we get the director of the Comey online, make them squirm.
Well, you know, I'm not saying I agree with you. Do that too.
Yeah, and I just think as long as aren't we all tired of the investigations of the last 3 years?
Yes, yes.
Let's at least change the tone to punish the people who are supposed to be working for the American people, not via politics, but via legislation, or in terms of their actual duties at the FBI and their security organizations. If they want to be political, maybe that's all we're going to get out of this, is punishing them. Maybe it's time for the press and the FBI to go to people's homes and start arresting them on camera.
Well,
they like to do that sort of stuff in that regard.
We're sick of all the investigations, and the one way that we could make them stop is to make the Democrats pay a high price for bringing them about in the first place. And that's perchance what a full on trial in the Senate could bring about. That is at least a full on Senate trial at least presents that opportunity, and that's the argument for it. The argument against it is, as people have been making, we're sick of it. Let's be done with this. It deserves none of our respect.
And if I may leave you on this last note, I want to thank all the Democrat presidential candidates for their firm stance that it's not about the economy, stupid. Thank you very much. Have a Merry Christmas.
And Chip, you have a Merry Christmas, too. And it's absolutely about the economy, stupid. And James Carville said that back in the Clinton days, and I promise you he would say it again. I'll tell you, I've interviewed James Carville. He's a realistic guy. I think if you didn't have him on mic, just talking to him one-on-one, which I have done, I think James Carville would be quite honest here. I think James Carville would say Trump's going to win in a walk. Carville is a political pro. He can read the landscape. He can read the tea leaves. And he's right. It is about the economy, stupid. That opens the line at 866-660-5759. And it also paves the way for us to go to Dallas and talk to Wayne next on The Mark Davis Show. Wayne.
Yeah, hi, Paul. Paul, it's always good to hear you on the radio here.
Thank you.
A couple quick observations, okay. First up, there has not been enough discussion on this whole situation about what could have caused all this. And number one is, we have a treaty with the Ukraine, okay? And if Trump was asking about any possible criminal activities, he was well within his, his limits as the president to even bring up that inquiry. Number two is, under these Defense Authorization Acts, the president has a fiduciary responsibility just to make sure that our dollars are spent correctly. and scoring for the intended purpose. And neither one of these factors are discussed enough. Would you agree?
I agree. Also not discussed in the media is the fact that, Joe Biden actually did what Trump is accused of doing, but he bragged about it. He's in an interview. He bragged. I told him they got 6 hours or the $1 billion isn't coming. They have 6 hours to fire that prosecutor. He said it out loud.
Exactly.
And the media has been completely uncurious about that. It's like it didn't happen. The only way you know that happened is listen to Mark Davis, listen to Sean Hannity, listen to the other talk shows, watch Tucker Carlson on Fox News Channel, watch Hannity on Fox News Channel. That's the only way you know that happened. Watch ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of that gang of malfeasance, and you would not know that Joe Biden bragged about withholding $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly right. Another couple of quick things here. This is not an impeachment. This is a coup. There's no doubt about it based on what's been going on here. And the reason the Democrats are pushing this whole thing so strongly is it's a big stall tactic. Because every day that goes by means Trump's accomplishments are not being discussed. And there's more and more illegal aliens getting driver's licenses and probably getting motor voters so they can register to vote. And I believe there's a big, massive possible election fraud scheme going on. And again, all the attention is focused on this nonsense instead.
Yeah, it is. And it is an attempt, and it's a very clear attempt. And it's fortunately so far doesn't seem to be working, but it's an attempt to simply wear the president down. And as Nancy Pelosi said, Donald Trump will be impeached forever. The goal is to just put enough stink in the air to give the Democrats a chance of defeating Trump, where they would have no chance otherwise. I still don't think they have a chance, but there's nothing legitimate happening here. It is purely political.
Exactly right, and I think even Judicial Watch proved in the last election. I think there were 2 to 3 million illegal alien voters, so. That's something to watch because, again, with these schemes going on and these illegals flooding in, I guarantee you there's a big, massive vote effort going on to get them registered.
Well, okay, so the last thing, Wayne, a long trial or immediate dismissal? You're Mitch McConnell. What are you doing?
Well, I say, again, go immediate because, again, we have to get on – we got to get focused on Trump's accomplishments and getting other issues nailed down. You know, the vote fraud, I think, is a big deal.
All right. Wayne, appreciate it. Hope you have a Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in.
You too, sir.
Take care. That opens up a line at 866-660-5759. I have something to share with you as we go into the top of the hour to end the show today, and so I'm going to go to the break a little bit early so we have the time to do that. So I hope you'll stay with us. Paul Gleiser sending in for Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Don't go away.
660 AM, The Answer.
Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on the Mark Davis Show, the last live Mark Davis Show before Christmas. And in recognition of that, I want to share something with you that I have kept for close to four decades. Harry Reasoner was one of the founding anchors of CBS's 60 Minutes. He was also an anchor at ABC. And a long time ago, he did a piece once on ABC and once on CBS, here at Christmas. It's one of the best pieces of prose that I've ever heard on broadcast. Let me share it with you here in this Christmas season. He said, "The basis for this tremendous annual burst of gift buying and parties in near hysteria is a quiet event that Christians believe actually happened a long time ago. You can say that in all societies, there's always been a midwinter festival, that many of the trappings of our Christmas are almost violently pagan. But you come back to the central fact of the day in the quietness of Christmas morning, the birth of God on earth. It leaves you only three ways of accepting Christmas. One is cynically, as a time to make money or endorse the making of it. One is graciously, the appropriate attitude for non-Christians who wish their fellow citizens all the joys to which their beliefs entitle them. And the third, of course, is reverently. If this is the anniversary of the appearance of the Lord of the universe in the form of a helpless babe, then it is a very important day. It's a startling idea, of course. My guess is that the whole story that a virgin was selected by God to bear his son as a way of showing his love and concern for man is not an idea that has been popular with theologians. It's a somewhat illogical idea, and theologians like logic almost as much as they like God. It's so revolutionary a thought that it probably could come only from a God that is beyond logic and beyond theology.
It has magnificent appeal. Almost nobody has seen God, and almost nobody has any real idea of what He is like. And the truth is that among men, the idea of seeing God suddenly and standing in a very bright light is not necessarily a completely comforting and appealing idea. But everyone has seen babies, and most people like them. If God wanted to be loved as well as feared, He moved correctly here. If He wanted to know His people as well as rule them, He moved correctly here. For a baby growing up learns all about people. If God wanted to be intimately a part of man, He moved correctly, for the experiences of birth and familyhood are our most intimate and precious experiences. So it goes beyond logic. It is either all falsehood or it is the truest thing in the world. It's the story of the great innocence of God the baby, God in the form of man, and has such a dramatic shock toward the heart that if it is not true for Christians, nothing is true. So, if a Christian is touched only once a year, the touching is still worth it, and maybe on some given Christmas, some final quiet morning, the touch will take. We thank you, Harry, and we wish you here from the Mark Davis Show and the staff here at the Mark Davis Show, including producer Rhonda K. Moreland and technical director Shane Bell, the very best, the very merriest and merriest Christmas. Safe and prosperous with your family. Hope we'll see you after Christmas. Have a great day.